This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. If you need any more information, head to FUBARradio.com.
Pitch Talk with Olivia Cox and Rachel Daniel.
And now some of the less regular penalty takers have got to stand up and be counted. And I number amongst that list Gareth Southgate. And Kupka saved it!
This is Pitch Talk World Cup Edition on FUBAR Radio.
Yes, I believe we came, we saw, we didn't quite conquer. Pitch Talk. This is our World Cup edition roundup recap finale, swan song of the World Cup. I'm Rachel Downey. Olivia Cox, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. A little deflated by the whole World Cup loss situation.
Do you know what? I was quite depressed the next day, and I was thinking, why am I depressed?
Weirdly affects you, doesn't it?
Like, for a good few days, I had the right arse, I'm not going to lie.
And I just think the country is kind of in mourning at the moment because we did not win. Love Island is finishing in 2 weeks. What the hell are we all going to watch?
I don't know. I'm going to have to talk to each other.
We're going to have to watch X Factor. That's awful. That's a terrible,
which means
terrible
then it's almost
situation.
Christmas, which is the whole new ball game.
Stop. Just don't even.
But yes, it is a pity. But you know what? We did fantastic. We really did. And I don't know, when you look, and we will talk about the last game, obviously with France winning, we couldn't have beaten them, and you know, we just ran out of steam.
You know, I actually think that Croatia's performance in that final mirrored our performance against Croatia.
Very well said. Yeah.
So in the first half, so many possibilities, and you felt that it was really going to happen.
Really,
and
trying,
so,
really
so
working.
Nearly, and then just by the end, it was just absolutely better team won and couldn't keep up.
Yeah, exactly. And it is a shame that we went out in the semi-final, but you could just see it from the start. We just lost steam. We ran out of steam. We were tired. You know, you hear two sides of the story when you think, well, in the next 4 years or 2 years for Euros, we could actually do it. But then what difference, what's going to happen over the next few years? I don't know.
The
there is something
every,
missing.
Every single World Cup, every competition, championship, there's an element of luck. And although I don't want to take anything away from France, that penalty that they got
shouldn't have happened. But again, they did go on, and you know, you look at the amount of goals.
I know, but psychologically, that I think was a real kick in the teeth to Croatia because they really had the upper hand.
Yes,
and then
it does affect you psychologically.
Then France just ran, and I think it was a matter of minutes that they suddenly scoreline hit 4-1.
Yeah,
and you're thinking, oh my god, it's all over. And then suddenly Croatia got that one goal, and you're thinking, there's 30 minutes left of the game. It's only two goals to equalise.
Yeah, I was thinking you could do one in the next 10 minutes.
I know. I was thinking if you get a penalty, and then
this
it's not
good.
Two. Come on, boys.
Yeah, but it
didn't happen.
It's a shame, and you know, 4-2, a game of goals. It was a perfect final. It really, really was. Mm. It was a great, great game. And we've got here Carl Walker on Twitter. He has tweeted, "We might live in a time where sometimes it's easier to be negative than positive, or to divide than to unite. But England, let's keep this unity alive. I love you."
I'm going to assume that "I love you" was to us. Oh, at the end.
Totes to us, babe.
Thank you, Carl. We love you too. Yes, what I really liked about the World Cup this time around was that it really brought everyone together.
Yeah.
There was a real feeling of, you could talk to each other, everyone was just a bit more friendly. There was something bonding us, and we all had this positivity and feeling that it might actually happen for us, which normally you're just like, no,
it did.
Silly.
Although then you get some people that aren't football fans kind of saying, oh, you know, you were singing, it's coming home. It's like, but we never actually realistically thought it's coming home. That song doesn't mean that.
No.
You know, it's our...
It's a rallying
British,
cry.
Our English sense of humour.
I've seen that all over Twitter. People have been saying that we're arrogant for saying it's coming home.
But that's not what it meant!
But every single team has to believe they will win. No athlete... I mean, we had an Olympic weightlifter in a few shows ago, and she was saying you cannot go into a lift, a game, a match, anything, thinking, oh, I might not make it.
Yeah, or
you
I might
won't.
Not.
You won't.
But I think deep down, we probably knew it wasn't going to happen. I mean...
Because we're English.
But you know what? It was... Yes, it was... Very proud of the boys. Gareth Southgate. I mean, I think we should have a bet on when he'll be knighted.
Gareth Southgate
only
is such
a matter
a legend.
Of time.
I would love to know if Marks and Spencers have gone into mass production of their waistcoat.
I mean, I know they did exceptionally well. It was... I mean, it's... And it's, I just love Gareth Southgate. And it goes against everything I said originally about him, so I do apologise.
He must have been sweating. I mean, it's pretty warm in Russia right now, isn't it?
I mean, we're quite restricted. I'm actually mimicking me doing up a waistcoat.
I mean, you are wearing something quite similar-ish. It has buttons down the front,
quite
and it does not have sleeves. So from here, you could be doing a little homage to the Southgate.
Well, there we go. And, well, who else has done an homage? It's Southgate Tube. Literally changed the name to Gareth Southgate. Do we know how long this will last?
It's a temporary thing. I can't remember which station it's on.
It's Southgate Station. Isn't it?
No, yeah. There is no Southgate.
Yeah. Is there
a Southgate?
Yeah.
Right, well
this
makes,
is a whole education right now. Give us a moment, people.
So much more sense.
Yes, the Southgate. It's on the Piccadilly line. I used to have an agent there when I was a chartered star and I appeared on CBeebies. There
did
we go.
You? Whereabouts is this station?
It's near Cockfosters.
Okay.
We
so
know
north.
Cockfosters. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. That's the end of the line. If you get to Cockfosters, you've fallen asleep on the night
shift.
You've
tube. Gone
Sorry.
Too far, babe.
Go
you've gone
back.
Too far.
Go for Gareth.
So the final results were, obviously, for the semi-final, Croatia 2-1. 2-1 to Croatia. Third place playoff, the friendly, as I like to call it. Belgium 2, England
0. Did you watch
nil.
That?
No, I did not. No. I didn't want to.
No.
Did not want to whatsoever.
I went on watching Strike.
It's yeah.
I was also in France, but, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You went away on your little holiday.
I actually came back from France on Bastille Day, which was the day before the World Cup final. And I was pretty goddamn pleased that I wasn't in France. We will cover this later on, but it was a little bit of a hectic environment and not overly well behaved. Sorry, I completely interrupted your scores.
Good. That's all right. And obviously the final was France 4-2. And again, and I think it's probably made a star out of Mbappe, incredible, incredible player, and a name that we're going to hear for years to come.
Mbappe, because I have all these stats that I want to share with everybody.
Oh, you love a good stat. I've learned this about Olivia. I mean, I've known you for a while now.
I love stats. You know when it's in a magazine or in a newspaper yeah. and there's like a 3 there and then like a little graph
really?
Here and then a top 10 here? Blows my mind. Love
really?
It. I love it. I'm so visual. I love literally seeing the facts. In
and
numbers and
do
shit.
Do you make your life, so, you know, instead of like writing a diary at the end of the day, do you kind of round up your life in the view of a stat every day? That'd be amazing.
You
well,
know what?
Top five for this. It's a graph for this.
My top 5 FUBAR shows. Or 3. No, but when I was at Marie Claire, we actually did used to do like London Fashion Week in numbers. So it'd be like 17 pairs of shoes shipped out to Louis Vuitton last minute, 13 hair dryers, broken Claridges, yada, yada, yada.
We are so different.
Anyway, can I just share this stat
yes.
before I digress too far? Mbappe, mm-hmm. and the link is that we just mentioned him, he was one of 2 people, which was always also Pogba, who were the first final with 2 goals scored from outside the penalty area.
Boom.
I'm not sure I really said
I'm
that
encouraging.
In the most
no, you
succinct
didn't.
Way.
Do it like you're doing Top of the Pops, like you're doing the countdown to number one.
No, because that's my greatest stat. I've already gone in. I've got 3 more stats,
go on,
but
give,
I will...
Give us,
no, I think I should pepper them.
Oh, really?
You want them now?
I believe we're ready for stats.
You want the rest of my first?
Go.
Okay, so
boom.
It was the first VAR-assisted goal in a World Cup final.
Boom!
Boom.
I've committed
that
boom
was
now.
The penalty, so that was the second goal. So that was when France basically won the game. It was the first time that Croatia had been in the final.
Lovely.
So, I mean, huge props to them.
Yeah, I didn't feel that needed a boom.
They were the
that
huge underdog.
They were. They did fantastic.
And it was also the first own goal in a FIFA World Cup final. Of course, Mario Mandzukic from Croatia. Unfortunately, Yeah.
Sorry, boom. There we go. I did it. So here's a few more of mine. So France beat Croatia on Sunday attracted the lowest UK TV audience for a World Cup final since records began in 1982. It averaged just 11.4 million viewers, 8.6 million on BBC One. Almost half of that for France's 1998 triumph. I don't blame it because there's a huge part of me.
Did you not watch it?
I did, but there was a huge part of me that didn't want to. And I watched it at home. I didn't want to go to the
pub. I watched it at home.
I couldn't be asked, to be honest. Like, I still wanted to watch it, but I didn't care because England weren't in it. And I also
temporarily blocked my French friend.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, harsh.
And I told him that I wanted Croatia to win. But
You actually blocked a friend?
Yeah, but I just didn't want his gloating. Oh, he will be absolutely unbearable.
I like that. I like how you block friends with football. That's good. That means now, welcome to the club.
They do say that no relationship is secure until someone's blocked someone.
Oh, really?
Have you blocked Si?
No, that's my other half. I've blocked many, many others, so...
I've blocked mine about once a day for the last
year. I've got a list. right, so if we're going to stick with the stats, which is really hard for me to say with my horse-like teeth, I've got a few. They're not really stats, they're more... Yeah, you could say...
Numbers.
They're just things... If you were going to go to a pub quiz, remember one, you know, and wow your friends in the break of the pub quiz. Here we go. So the standout performers of the World Cup, they've got here, what about the mascots? Russia 2018 dispensed with the small happy kids walking out with the captains and brought in the surly teenagers. One of the most intimidating features before France's round of 16 match with Argentina. That's so bizarre. So yeah, so they got rid of the kids and brought in a load of teenagers. That was Russia.
So only for that game? Or for
yes, that was their mascot. That's good. Here we go. We mentioned the waistcoats before. Oh, and I do remember this, actually. So, yeah, before everyone went on about Southgate's waistcoat, the must-have fashion item for the World Cup, it was Nigeria's home kit that caused queues on high streets across the country.
Why?
It's still sold out. It's a brilliant kit. On the official Nike website, the green, black and white shirt, it's available on eBay for between £20 and £300. It's brilliant. And also because it's Nigeria as well, it's just an amazing thing to have their own kit out there and available in the shops. So that was brilliant. 57 seconds, that was the fastest goal. Mathias Jorgensen for Denmark against Croatia. 57 seconds.
That is punchy. I mean, we did what, 4 minutes in our game against Croatia?
Right. We'll get. Oh, look at this. We've got a picture on our screen.
Oh, it
of
is jazzy.
The Nigerian kit. It's a brilliant kit. I do really like
it. It's like chevrons in the rose. White chevrons on green down the bib, if you like, and then black chevrons on white on the arms.
I love your description.
I feel like someone might have been high when they designed that.
That's actually clearly not what happened, if anyone who did design it is listening.
But look at it. It's the most funky, trippy sports kit I've ever seen.
I love it. It's very good.
I love what they've done with that. It's just so different.
I love what they've done with the T-shirt. Love it.
Wow.
10 teams have lost every World Cup match they have played. Panama, Iraq, Togo, Canada, UAE, China, Haiti, DR Congo, El Salvador and Dutch East Indies. So we go. More facts for you people. I've got more. 88 years since neither Brazil nor Germany were in the last four. Oh, I'll go on and on. And last but not least, because we are going to be talking about Harry Kane, who won the Golden Boot. Harry Kane scored 6 goals from 6 shots on target for England, the previous player to score as many at a World Cup, while converting 100% of shots on target was Jairzinho in 1970 for Brazil. He did 7 goals for 7 shots.
Let's just talk about Harry Kane quickly. Thoughts on him not
He's
being there to accept his prize?
Harry Kane. But is he back over here training with his team?
Yeah, but
or
it was the
holiday,
day
perhaps
after we lost. I just thought, I love Harry Kane, I love our team, I love Gareth Southgate, they were epic, but I thought it showed slightly bad sportsmanship that he just buggered off home the next day, didn't even stay around. I just feel like, especially that close, you really ought to stay.
Yeah.
And considering he knew he was in the running, very much in the running.
I know what you mean, but again, Harry Kane, I can't say anything bad about him.
but 24 hours in country in order to show that you're a good sportsman.
Yes,
yeah,
I know what you mean. He should have done it. I'd like to know his reasons actually behind it. I might have a quick look at his Twitter account very shortly to see if he has tweeted about that. So I'm not quite sure why he didn't. But again, it's Harry Kane. He's one of our own.
I don't think that that is a good enough reason, quite
frankly.
It's my reason.
Okay. What about Ronaldo, who has moved to Juventus? He's insisted he has not gone to Juventus for a holiday and he wants to be the Italian club's lucky star. He's also been quoted as saying that a lot of players his age go they make a move to China, but instead he feels that he's still got a lot left in him, which
he
really has.
I love Ronaldo's loud confidence.
He's pretty. Yeah,
to brand yourself.
He knows he's good.
A self-confessed lucky star to the lucky people who are getting it. That is extreme arrogance. But if arrogance is backed up by excellence, then surely it's just confidence.
Ooh, nah, still just arrogance, babe.
Do you think?
Yeah. I mean, what would you do? Although I can't. Yeah, what would you do if I sat here and I went, look, I am a lucky star. I am.
I'd say, really?
The lucky star I am.
You feeling lucky?
Yeah. God, imagine if you ever... I would like a bit of that self-belief, though, wouldn't you?
He is very...
Cocksure. No, is that right? Cocksure?
So when I met him, when I say quietly confident, he just has this air about him. It's almost like someone like Prince Harry. They know that they've got it. They don't need to shout about it because everyone knows anyway.
Prince Harry's definitely got it.
So many people fussing around them. And he was just quite... cool and normal and stood there in his shiny white shoes.
Real thing about his shiny white shoes, didn't you?
I cannot keep trainers white, so I asked him how he keeps his white, thinking he might give me some groundbreaking tip, and he said I wear them twice and then give them to a mate.
Which you would do if you were Ronaldo. But yeah. I do like how we just compared Ronaldo and Prince Harry. It was good. I don't think that's ever been done before.
I mean, they're probably worth a similar amount of money. I don't know.
I feel like it's a tumbleweed moment for me right now.
Well, you don't have an answer. Oh my God, I've done it. Rachel Downey does not have the answer.
No, because I wouldn't have said... I reckon Ronaldo would be worth more than Harry. Because Harry's probably got his money in property, not cash.
Yeah, but we're not talking about cash rich. Assets count.
All right. I'll have... Do you know what? When I'm sitting down with Queenie next week... I'll ask her. Look, Queenie.
Go chat to Lizzie.
How are your assets? it's a normal conversation.
Dear Queen, how are your assets?
Yeah.
Your assets?
Oh, no, it's in property. Livy just touched herself. Tottenham are in talks to have Son available for their big Premier League kickoff. The striker was set to miss his club's first four matches of the season after being named in the South Korea squad for the Asian Games in Indonesia. But Spurs will ask South Korea Chiefs to let Son play in their top flight opener at Newcastle on August the 11th before he makes the 7,250-mile trip. The club do not have to free Son as the Asian Games is not a FIFA event. But if South Korea win the competition, the 26-year-old could be exempt from a 21-month stint of military service. Hold the phone! That story at the end is way more interesting.
Really,
I mean, don't get me wrong, we want Son to play. Again, being a big Spurs fan. But wait.
So what's that? National service as in enforced military enlistment?
Spurs don't have to free Son... Hang on. So if South Korea win the competition, oh my God, this is a lot for my brain right now. If South Korea...
I'm really glad you read this before you went on air.
Well, I did, but I didn't expect to be hit so much about this. The Asian Games. So if they don't win the Asian Games, I need more facts on this. The 26-year-old could be exempt from a 20... He'll be exempt anyway. From a 21-month stint of military service.
We are going to have a little look for some more information on this. But in the meantime, there are other clubs who are struggling a bit with players. Liverpool have got a few players that aren't going to be available for their club games because they're having a period of leave after the World Cup. Now, I don't know. Is that down to the discretion of the clubs?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably a little bit of a... It's just too much for the players. They do have to have a break. So they'll be getting injuries and... They do need a break. Olivia is trying to Google. Can I just like make everyone aware of this? China National Service Football. That's a very normal Google
search. I can't
search.
Remember. What was the player's name?
It's Son.
Son.
S-O-N. She
other
wrote
one.
Son.
Korea's Golden Boy. Right, here we go.
Yeah, that was, yeah.
Korea's Golden Boy's Son faces thorny issue. I love how they've said that. Of military service. The winner has set English football alive, but he may be forced to take a lengthy spell out at the height of his powers unless Tottenham allow him to compete for his country in August's Asian Games and South Korea win it. So that is a huge... I mean, that's not even just turn up. That's win it.
Just rock up.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Did not know that.
Olivia's head is in her hand right now. She is actually...
Mind blown. I wonder how many players are affected by that. Surely any player...
No, I think he's...
From South Korea.
I think he's the only South Korean player in the Premier League. I think he is.
Okay, fine. So that, in that so case, probably answer my question is one.
Boom. There we go. Done.
I've got to stop doing boom. It's a new one for me.
We've got a few more. God, you go first.
I was just going to say, we have a lot more to talk about from the World Cup final. All the goals that were scored, all the history that was made, and of course, the pitch invasion by the anti-Kremlin
group.
Well,
let's talk about that. Talk about the pitch invasion now.
Okay.
Let me get... So, yes, as everyone was aware, it was the Pussy Riots that were part of the pitch invasion. The four protesters...
I thought it was three.
There's four
was there
of them.
Four?
Yep.
I didn't see a four.
The four protesters, so the Pussy Riots, were members of the Pussy Riots, the punk collective, who ran onto the pitch dressed as police officers during the second half of Sunday's match between France and Croatia, have been sentenced to 15 days in jail.
What a joke. 15 days?
That's ridiculous that they've
total
been...
Total or each?
Total.
What?
That's ridiculous. But they shouldn't be.
So what, 15 divided by 4? Or no, they're
I'm
all
so
going in for 15 days.
Yes.
Wow, that is nothing.
Yeah.
I think it's really bad. I mean, the shock on some of the Croatian players' faces as the BBC was rushing to try and get the cameras on something else. I mean, it's just not fair. It was so distracting, and it's just, you could sense that feeling of really being let down and just a little bit flabbergasted, I think. Although, I mean, how the hell did they even get on the pitch?
They've also been banned from attending sports events for 3 years. They call for the release. So this is the reason behind them doing this. I'll be very quick because we've got a phone guest. They call for the release of political prisoners, the end for illegal detentions at political rallies, stopping the policing of people's political views on social media, and for more open political competition. I think fair play to them, personally. If you're going to protest, you might as well do it and make a huge difference. Oh, yeah. There we go.
Really? Rachel Downey is saying that about a football game?
Yeah.
Shocked.
Yeah, I won. Are we ready? Are we ready for our next, our first guest of the final World Cup show? It's still quite a tongue twister, isn't it?
It is. The final.
So, on the phone lines right now, we've got Sam Saunders. Hello, Sam.
Hello, girls. You okay?
Hello.
We're very good. You know, I've got in my notes here, we had him on our first ever show. So there we go, Sam. You are our
first
guest. There
we go. Long time.
Yeah.
Long time.
Must have been...
I'm glad I didn't ruin it for you.
Aww.
Yeah, exactly. You ruined it all
for
us.
You're our lucky mascot, Sam.
How are you today?
Yeah, good, thanks. I'm literally just about to go away and have our second pre-season game of pre-season. So I'll be, on the way against my old team as well, Brentford. Hopefully last evening. Hopefully they go easy on us.
Fantastic. Yeah, you're currently playing for Wycombe Wanderers, is that right?
That's it, yes, Wycombe Wanderers. So yeah, no, it's been a good pre-season so far, and I'd say after last year's promotion, the boys have been in good spirits and we're looking forward to this season.
Good. Well, Sam, the obvious question is World Cup. What were your thoughts? Did you ever really think it was coming home? How upset were you that we crashed out in the semis?
To be honest, no, I didn't think it was coming home, to be honest with you. I felt that the boys done well. I felt there's no denying that the fixtures were kind on us.
Yeah.
And if you look at it in the light of day, you see that we narrowly got through the first game, then beat Panama, obviously lost to Belgium and drew with Colombia, and then we beat Sweden. So it's you look at it and you think there are not really any names there that shout, and you think, God, we've got absolutely... We've done a fantastic, but it's just one thing that we only have to beat what's in front of you. But when we come up against Croatia after the first half an hour, when I thought we was the better team, we seem to go back and go into a bit of a negative brand and sit back really deep and leave the strikers isolated. And it was seemed to me that we looked like we was a boxer that was punched out and had no more legs, and we looked like we were struggling. And when they scored the goal,
it was a bit deflated, the second half effort.
Yeah, I just, to be honest, I don't know whether it, I don't know whether we could have adapted to the situation a little bit better. I felt that as an England team, we was conceding a lot of possession down the flanks, and our fullbacks were getting outnumbered. And
it's I felt interesting
that we went that 3-5-2 that whole tournament, and we haven't changed formations at all. And maybe that was the time that we maybe could have gone to a 4-3-3 or a 4-5-1 just to stop the fullbacks coming out.
Yeah. So, but do you think in that case then that we were kind of overly reliant on set pieces?
Oh, well, we was relying on set pieces the whole tournament, but particularly in that game where we looked like we had no energy and we had real no, we wasn't really creating anything after the first half an hour.
Mm. It wasn't very creative play, was it? It was just kind of going through the motions. It felt a little.
Well, unfortunately, in that formation, if you're not on top and you're playing a 3-5-2, it tends to be a 5-3-2, which it looked to be after the first half an hour. And unfortunately, that created pressure on us, and we buckled in after 60 minutes, and then I say, if I'm all ready to the game, and then we looked like we were trying to get to penalties, and it wasn't meant to be.
A lot of people are getting excited, say, about, you know, the Euros for us or the next World Cup. What do we need to do? What does a team need to do to, you know, be able to potentially go on and, say, win the next World Cup? Because there is something still missing, isn't there?
Well, I say these boys now, they need to be getting, some of them still are not getting week in, week out football at Premiership level. You got, say, players like Loftus-Cheek, who when he played really well, but it's just been lack of opportunities at his club at Chelsea, and he's had to go out on loan. Other players like Lingard, who's not regular first team week in, week out at United, who's playing week in, week out for England. So it's just these players playing week in, week out for their club sides. You look at Jordan Pickford, he's been playing week in, week out, and you see how he's just turned into a revelation the last couple of seasons. But unless Sunderland had an absolute crisis in goal, we would have never got that opportunity.
Yeah,
so it's about our players getting these chances to play. We've got good youngsters in the under-21s, the under-20s, the under-19s, but are they going to get the opportunity? I'm not so sure. Obviously, on pedigree, they're very good players, but they're going to get lost in this academy system that we do on the 23s, playing this way, and then they're going to get loaned out to a League One, League Two side or Championship side, and then it's going to be a complete different ball game. The problem is the Premiership. It's just there's so much money that you see teams. We played West Ham on Saturday, and they just signed two players, a centre half from Auxerre for £21 million. And you look at they had young lads on the bench, Reece Oxford, centre half. Why don't you give him a chance? Why are you bringing someone in for £21 million? Give this lad a go. You know, how's he ever going to prove himself if he's not going to play? Now they've brought that lad in, he's never going to get an opportunity.
I suppose that's the problem with the country teams, the national sides and the club sides not necessarily being in harmony. Because as you say, it doesn't give them a chance.
Well, it doesn't, because the club sides are all built out for immediate success, and managers are not given time to build successful teams and get youngsters through the academy and give them time, because if they don't get results in six games, they're out. So I can see why they're doing it, but because it's such a money-orientated game in the Premiership, it's killing our national team, and people have been saying it for years. I'm not saying anything different. I'm just reinstating the fact that these young lads are never going to get opportunities because we're always bringing in someone else from another country. I say, this centre-half, I know I've only seen him for one game, but you can't tell me that Reece Oxford, if he ain't played a full season in Premier League, won't be as good as he. It's just so true. It's crazy.
Yeah, there's a lot to be done at that end before we even start looking at doing well in these tournaments again. And it's very, very true. Well, let's change the subject slightly to you, Sam. Do you like how I did that? You're the founder and director. I know we spoke about this before, of Thomas Royal. First of all, for people that don't know anything about Thomas Royal, tell us about the swimsuit brand.
Well, yeah. We're trying to be like basically a one-stop holiday shop kind of thing, you know. It's we're a fashion swimwear brand basically, and if you got to go online, you'll see that we're quite bold and bright with our prints and so forth. We've just bought a bikini range. We've got matching kids and stuff. And
I actually saw that there was the cutest picture. I don't know if it was a family holiday or something, but everybody is kitted out in the same sort of colour scheme, and
it's
so many different generations and people, and it's lovely.
Yeah, so it's just basically just us trying to say, I always fell off for this decent swimwear that I liked, and that's how I got into it. And it's been going well, only been around 3 or 4 years. We've managed to get in some decent stores and so forth, and it's something that I've been doing when I'm not doing the football. Obviously, the football is still my priority because I'm not getting any younger, and these lads seem to be getting fitter and quicker. So
<hear you. laughs>
that takes a lot of my effort, but it's something that I've been doing alongside Liam Ridgewell, who's playing for the Portland Timbers, and John Terry, who's at the moment not with a club. So it's something that we've obviously got our eye on in the future as well for after football. So yeah, it's still relatively new, but we're hopeful that it can do well.
Are you enjoying it? I know it's obviously very different for playing football. Have you had to, you know, what have you learned? What have you found the most challenging out of running your own business?
To be honest, if I had knew what I was getting into, I wouldn't have started. It's outrageous, but it's great because I've learned different things in the summer, and when the boys are all going to Ibiza and so forth, I was in Florence at a fashion show, checking out the new prints of what.
Look at you!
Checking out the new prints of what's coming on for next year. And
I mean,
so
that must
forth.
Be every man's dream.
Well, when some of the models flying around, yeah, it was.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, yeah. Good
but
work.
No, it was good. It's all very much that. So I've been in every meeting. I've been in meetings where you're looking for design prints and so forth, or when you're trying to sell the shorts, and I've been speaking to high-end buyers. And then going from day to day with the team at the office. So it's full on, and yeah, I've definitely had to learn on the job. But no, it's something that I've enjoyed.
That's fantastic. Well, look, Sam, we won't keep you any longer, but thank you so, so much for talking to us today. And we'll put your details as well up on Twitter so they can find out more about Thomas Royal, and also, I don't know, you get a few more followers if you want.
Brilliant.
Have a wicked day. Thank you, Sam.
Oh, Sam, gone.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye. Thank
hello,
you, Sam.
Hello, I just lost you then. I don't know what you said.
Right. Bye. We'll just say goodbye.
Okay. Right,
hello
thanks,
again.
Girls.
Bye. Thank you.
Yeah, bye.
That's brilliant. I lost him. Sorry, what were you saying? Oh, just say goodbye.
Just trying to get you off the phone, Sam.
That was Sam Saunders. And I think it's brilliant. I do love the very honest answer of, you know, what have you learned since starting up your own company?
Well, not to do it again.
Yeah, I would never get to do it again. But
I love the
brilliant
contrast there, though. I think that's a great idea.
What contrast in going from footballer to
fashion?
It's good. And I can imagine him, like, you know, finishing a game and going over to a fashion show.
Going over to the textile shop and getting out his sewing kit.
That's brilliant.
Love that. Definitely won't happen that way, but I'm just going to imagine it.
Yeah, you just keep with that. A couple of other things, and we will talk to them because we've got some guests coming up. Jordan Pickford has been urged to resist the temptation to move on from Everton. The England keeper is tipped to step up to a Champions League club after his World Cup heroics. He really was one of the standout stars for our team,
I think.
He
really was. I mean, he really just came into his own, I think. And we were talking last week Richard Lee about the psychology of being a goalkeeper. And of course, the Gareth Southgate's message to Jordan Pickford that actually it's really handy to give the ball back to our players. So it just sort of gave them a bit of a boost. And actually, we performed so much better in our penalties than we have done historically.
Yeah.
And I do think that is, yeah, I mean, we were still all behind the sofa with no more fingernails. But I do think that a large part of our success is down to Jordan Pickford.
Yeah.
I like this. That's my little summary. Thank you.
Trippier, yeah. Kane. Oh, I could go
all
back now.
The boys.
I did stop saying, you know, how well Spurs are doing against the world because, you know, I thought, oh, it's not fair. We're all a team. Now I can. very excited.
How
for
many Spurs Spurs players were in the final?
I think it was four.
All on one side?
Yeah.
France?
No. Oh, no, in the final. No. Oh, God, no. One.
That was the worst answer I've ever had from you, Rachel.
No, but I thought you were talking about England. I thought you were talking about England. Yeah, Hugo Lloris, the goalkeeper. Wonderful Lloris. On that note, we've got a couple of World Cup songs because, you know, you haven't heard enough of them. Olivia, what you mentioned you want We Are the Champions.
I really do.
Are you ready to?
I deeply do.
Oh, wow. She deeply does. Well, if you deeply do, babe. We'll be back in a
few
minutes.
She's going to put another song on now. I can see this happening.
I'd love that.
If you deeply do, you're not fucking having it.
In your face. well, as you deeply do, I deeply do. I've never used that sentence before. It's
you
quite
deeply
fun.
Will now.
It sounds really nice on my mouth. I deeply do. We are the champions by Queen.
But we're not. I've paid my dues time after time. I've done my sentence but committed no crime. And bad mistakes I've made a few. I've had my shouts and kicks in my face, but I've come through. And I need to go on, 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 on. We are the champions, my friends, and we'll keep on fighting till the end. We are the champions. And everything that goes with it, I thank you all. But it's been no bed of roses, no pleasure cruise. I consider it a challenge before the whole human race, and I ain't gonna lose. Champions of the world. Yeah, it normally does, I think.
Oh, wow. So we've got a different version from Queen.
Or maybe we've got the original and everyone else just
drunkenly says of the world.
Of the world.
Yeah, we're not really singing,
just
are
like
we?
That.
That was We Are the Champions, obviously, by Queen. This is Pitch Talk. I'm Rach Downey. Olivia Cox, you enjoying the show thus far?
I'm loving the show. I'm a bit cold, but I'm loving the show.
Bit nips. It's all right. Oh, I didn't actually realise.
Do you know what?
Just realised actually what that means. It's only taken me about 55 years to work it out.
What?
We've not literally, Olivia, I'm not 55 years
old.
But
hang on, what are you trying to say it means?
That your nips are cold, Ben. You could cut glass. On that note, we've got some guests in the studio. Let's welcome James Alcott and Daniel, then in brackets, Danny Spiller. Yeah. Welcome, boys. Oh, wait there. Welcome, boys.
Oh, I love it.
You can do it yourself.
Hey.
Thank
no,
you.
But I can't.
We've been doing this
well.
Right. Since November, and Rachel still doesn't press the button quickly enough.
Yeah, it's the best thing in the world.
So we always have to do it. Take two. Hang on. We'll reintroduce you. And then
let's go again.
Do you want me to do it again?
You want it a third time?
I'll have a ripple if that's alright.
Yeah, all right. I'd like that. I'll have a ripple. Let's welcome into the studio James Alcott and Danny Spiller.
Thank you.
I feel like we're about to
sorry
start
Daniel
show.
Danny Spiller.
Yeah. Do you like Danny better than Daniel?
Either or. Oh. Danny was referred to as my football name. And ever since I retired, it's like Daniel all of a sudden.
Because now you're sensible.
Yeah.
And a grown up.
What about Dan? Have you ever done Dan?
Dan is a regular one, yeah.
Interesting.
Jim, I do get Jim.
Yeah.
Jay, I get as well.
You know, I didn't know for very many years that Jim was the shortening of James. I thought it was a completely separate name.
this is a real school day for all of us today.
Learning lots.
Learning experience.
Well, let's start first of all with you, James. You've got your own podcast, Great Touch for a Big Lad.
Indeed.
Tell us about it, please. Brilliant name.
So, yeah, Great Touch for a Big Lad came about. I was living with two other lads, and then my best mate as well got involved as well. And I just realised that we're just always talking about football, and I just thought it might be nice and a good bit of presenting practice for me as well, just to kind of start doing it as a podcast. We've been going like 4 or 5 years now. Podcast went out yesterday as well. If you want to go check it out, just search Great Touch for a Big Lad. And essentially, it's just four season ticket holders. Who goes to football?
Important.
I like to drop that in. Yeah, that's for one of the guys. Craig's a Stoke City fan. That's huge because he thinks that's a little badge of honour that we can have, that all four of us have got a season ticket.
So are you? But you're all different club supporters.
Yes. So I'm a QPR season ticket holder. We've got a Chelsea fan, Brentford
season
fan,
ticket
season ticket holder, of course, and a Brentford fan and a Stoke City fan.
So no Spurs. Well. That's a shame.
No Spurs, no. But yeah, where I work at Bull Street.
Yeah, come on, make it up.
No, it's fine,
come on.
I've got it. Where I work, Bull Street, I work with a guy called Flav, who's got a very big Spurs podcast, actually, called The Fighting Cock.
Yeah.
So yes,
that's
go check
right.
That
you're
well.
Back in my
I'm
good.
Back in my
you
good,
redeemed
good.
Yourself. It was touch
Thank
and go
you.
There.
And it says here, so you've got your own YouTube channel, which lets viewers explore what's going on in your life and your job in the world of football and media. How's that working out for you?
Sure, it's been very exciting over the last month, in particular. Obviously, with the England games, with Liverpool's run as well.
Yeah.
It's just a kind of different spot for me to kind of give my opinions on stuff, because often on Bull Street, I'm presenting a bit more, so it's a bit more me asking someone else their thoughts on it.
Quite unbiased, which is really
tough. Yeah, which is tough. So yeah, it allows me to be very biased.
good. And Danny, well, first of all, you two know each other, and when I say you two, I am pointing to Olivia, and then back to Danny again.
We do indeed.
How do you two kind of recognise each other, know each other? Explain.
Best mates.
Yeah, soulmates.
Yeah, we go way back. Actually, it was quite a long time ago. I met Daniel Spiller.
I'm kind of struggling. Danny. Yeah, it's really difficult to have a choice.
At a Herbalife playoff, kickoff. Which is, it sort of starts off the year, and you can explain Herbalife a bit better than me.
Yeah, so Herbalife. We're the world's leading nutrition brand. I love to boast about it. And I got involved like 6 years ago. And obviously we were bringing on some ambassadors to help showcase like who we are, what we do. And
yeah.
Olivia at that moment in time was a great acquisition for us. So she come along to one of the events.
Thank you. I was wondering where you're going with that. Yeah. I thought you were going to say at that moment in time,
she's
a great
person. She's good.
Since.
Not so good now, but...
Just gone downhill. No. Down.
Wasn't Ronaldo one of the ambassadors?
He is, and he still is.
Still is.
And he's got a great story, actually, with us and the company, because he was actually a consumer of the product via a friend of his family that was just a distributor of the products like me. And he loved it that much, he then approached Herbalife to become a sponsored athlete. So,
God, but Herbalife went crazy over
that.
Oh,
my God.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He wasn't coming for the income, which was nice. He didn't even want to be paid. But
just as well.
Yeah. But I think,
what he wants, some free snack bars.
Exactly. But I think his advisor pulled him to the side quite quickly. And,
yes.
And he obviously gets paid handsomely well for it.
That's amazing.
But
and
yeah.
Does not, might I point out, turn up to the kickoff events.
Whereas
I did.
You turned up, Olivia.
You're trying to better yourself than Ronaldo, aren't
yeah.
you?
Well, you know.
Someone's got to do it.
But
so I can only try.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, so that's basically like my story after retiring from football a few years ago. Played for Gillingham for 11 years, Millwall for a few years, and then finished off at... had a short spell at Dagenham that we don't like to mention so much. Millwall, yeah.
I once had to cheerlead when I was at Exeter for the football club, and it was Exeter versus Millwall.
Okay.
And I remember we were all pulled to one side and told that we should expect really awful behaviour from the fans and to just basically not think about
the Millwall fan.
Yeah.
Wow.
The best home fans if you're playing
Is
for
Is it
them.
A particularly punchy crowd?
They are... They are.
Go on, you say.
Yeah, they're hard as nails.
They are.
I went to QPR Millwall away last season.
Yeah.
And
because you've got season ticket.
Because I've got season ticket. Well, that is away, so you know, there's extra money on top. And the Millwall fans are awesome.
Yeah.
And so many flat caps, which I loved. Because it's like it's old school.
I like that. Yeah.
It's so old school. It's amazing.
Very green street.
Yeah.
Okay.
So green street.
So passionate.
So passionate, yeah.
Okay. Incredibly passionate. Yeah. And you used to play for the Hatters as well.
I did, yeah. Short spell.
I love that team.
Do you, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My time at Luton Town, unfortunately, didn't go down so well with the supporters.
Yeah, sorry about that, mate. Yeah.
Because I'd actually signed for them. They were looking to get out of the... I think it was like the conference they were in then. So myself and one of the other Gillingham players at the time, we signed for him. We were supposed to be like maybe the solution to help bring him out of the lower leagues of football. And then I didn't play one game for him because I was injured. So and then they saw
that's
me.
That's not your fault, though.
It's not my fault.
Us
no,
down.
No, no.
Letting us down, Livid. Do you know why Luton Town is called the Hatters?
Mad Hatters?
No. No. Luton Town used to make hats back in the day, so that's why they call Luton Town the Hatters.
Thank you.
I am a childhood fan of Luton Town.
The facts.
I am full of crap facts, but that might work.
That I like
crap.
That.
Yeah, full of crap. So, boys, what did you think of the World Cup? Let's look at England. How proud have they made you?
Yeah, we're obviously extremely proud because for once we went into this World Cup where there was no expectation on us.
I thought we'd be out so soon. Like, yeah. It's quite a joke in a way.
Yeah, I know. Like, I'm obviously super proud and really pleased to see what they did, but at the same, real disappointed that we didn't respond a little bit better against the Croats. But at the same time, we've got a super young side, and I think it's just a building block for them, for us to like move on and see what we can do in the Euros. They're going to come back like as heroes with a whole new... whole new lease of confidence, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think it's only going to be something that we can build on, like going into the Euros and in the following World Cup again.
Being a young team, though, I was really impressed at their behaviour and performance against Colombia because it seemed a really, really dirty game, and they really
filthy.
Seemed to be trying to goad us into reacting, which I think probably
they kept their cool. Kane's
teams
amazing.
Of past would have done. And actually, to see such a young side not bowing down to that and saying, all right, mate, screw it, was really nice.
Yeah, I agree. Jim?
Yeah, massively. I think just to get for a penalty shootout is just amazing.
Oh, and I aged about 30 years.
Yeah. Rachel had gone on about this on the show that day. She was like, I am not watching penalties.
The worst.
And going into that game, that was my prediction, was we'd win it on penalties.
Really? Yeah.
Which,
Brave.
I'm pleased we were
Did you
right,
put any money
but
on that?
I could have done without it. No, because when if I predict and put money on it, it doesn't come true.
Oh.
But if I don't put money on it,
I see.
It works out.
Yeah.
Which is, very, very annoying.
So it was very draining, though, wasn't it? That game was very draining.
It was.
It was.
What do you think happened then? Do you think we just ran out of steam? Do you think we would... What happened to us?
I think football's about moments and bits of luck, and a penalty shootout, as great as we were for the Colombia game, we could have lost that game quite easily.
Yeah,
ultimately, a lot of the time, I think people can't see through a result sometimes. And I think we saw maybe in the last two games where we're missing one or two players because the set pieces were great, and the set pieces are great as long as we're still winning. But as soon as we're not, then it looks like what else are we able to create? And I wasn't... Henderson was great, but apart from that, I think we struggled to unlock defences and we struggled to get enough chances, and in the end that cost us because we didn't score enough goals.
And what is it about Gareth Southgate that's made the whole nation fall in love with him? The soon to be knighted probably Southgate.
I just think it's because he just seems like such a down to earth approachable guy, and I've still got some good friends in football now, and the word on the street is amongst the footballers in the industry, like he wants them to call him Gareth still. It's not like Gaffer or Boss.
Wow.
So it's like, alright Gareth, how you doing? And he's just like one of those guys where they want to play for him, and I think that like showed in this competition.
Yeah.
So just being like one of the lads, he come up through with a lot of the lads in the younger age groups, because obviously he come through that system as well, I think that just makes such a big difference. Nice English coach. The boys can all relate to him. And I think that's why everybody's kind of... Mm-hmm. He's won a lot of people over, and I think he'll be in charge for quite a long time now.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I wasn't... When I heard... Because I was working for the FA at the time, and when I heard that he was the new manager, I was...
You were quite scathing. You weren't a fan of that.
Yeah, but I think as well, looking back, you kind of expect like a big name, a big star name, and you're like, Gareth Southgate, like, what is this kind of... quiet person going to
but
do.
But that seems to be what really stood him in good stead, that quiet. It seems like almost that gentle touch where someone will... They're not going to put you in your place too much, but if they do say something, then you're like, oh, shit, shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, totally.
He's such it's respect, isn't it?
Absolutely. He's such a... Seems like such a decent man. But he also, I think, quite often was like... He's quite clear in what he was saying and with his statements. There wasn't, I think he was wanted to come across as reasonable but strong. And I think he did that throughout. And I also think what's important is that he's an intelligent man. He's not one of those old school England managers of the past. Or and Dan, you can probably tell us that for a long time, I think footballers are used to being scared of their manager, not being empowered by their manager. And I think Gareth Southgate. He understands Twitter. He understands all of that. There was a great tweet from the, I think it was the press guy of England, and it was a note that was on in his bedroom from Southgate saying, "Let's attack this World Cup and try and get people to come on board with it." And everything they've done has been brilliant. Like speaking from, you know, someone who worked in YouTube, every single day they had a live show. Every single day
he's done all the pre and post match interviews.
That's been superb as well.
Yeah.
They've stepped towards the media. They've stepped towards the fans. Yes. And
it was a lot more accessible this time. The press were allowed in a lot more to see them training. I mean, I know I've harped on about this, but I thought it was hilarious. The rubber chickens. Has anyone else seen that yet?
I've seen it. I don't know what the story is behind
it. One of the final training sessions before we lost. There were two rubber chickens. One was red, one was blue. I wasn't drunk, so I'm pretty sure I saw this for real.
And they were
sort of flinging it at each other and then sort of like darting around. And I think it must be something to do with the elasticated neck. I don't know.
Of Southgate, no, of the chicken.
They had, do you know what they had? The running around bit. That might be, is a game called Kabaddi? Have you heard of a game called Kabaddi?
I
played it at school.
They're playing kabaddi with rubber chickens.
I think it was kabaddi actually.
Because they're playing it throughout the tournament. I think they had this little kabaddi tournament going on.
They just all looked so happy, and I loved seeing them bowling together. And it was a real team feeling. Yeah. I think that really leaked out to the whole country as well.
I think England fans needed it. They needed something to grab onto. There's mates in my work who. They weren't around for Euro 96. They weren't around for anything, and they've never known what it's like to kind of have something and to be excited about it.
Young.
And it's so nice to put.
I remember it.
I do. But they now know what it's like, and so next time, they've got something to look back onto and go, you never know, things can happen. And that's really exciting for the next few times.
One of the teams for me that kind of stood out was Russia. And the team coming into this that no one thought would do well at all. Why do they do so well?
Did you want the honest answer?
Yeah. I've got my.
This is one for you. They were on a lot of Herbalife.
I was having this conversation with someone.
Yeah, I think being on home territory is always going to be that advantage, isn't there?
Yeah.
Packed out fans.
Come on, Dan. Come on. Come on.
We don't want to get sued.
Just say allegedly. At the end, you're fine.
Oh yeah, true. Actually, yeah, very very true.
Yeah, but. Their performance, whatever they were doing, they look very strong. Yeah, but
very good. You should run for some kind of like MP, Danny. That's very good.
Did you notice that Putin was the only person in the medal ceremony, as it was pissing down with rain, who had an umbrella over his head, despite his lack of hair?
An absolute mess that entire ceremony. That is a real pet hate.
It's a shame, isn't it?
Don't get that bit wrong, right?
Yeah,
do it properly. And the Infantino guy, don't go around the back and through the crowd. Go around the front, give it to him, get out of there.
I love that, this Infantino guy.
It so annoys me. Like, the best ever, Gerrard 2005. He got the trophy and he said, "Look, Traore, everyone else, get out of the way. This is my moment." Yeah. And it's iconic.
Beautiful. Yeah.
But instead, that was an absolute mess. Absolutely.
It was
mess.
A clusterfuck.
What? It was.
You said ages.
I know. That really just felt right.
Lovely, that was. It was a clusterfuck.
Fuck of a cluster. What team stood out for you the most?
And why? Do you know what? I found myself really rooting for Croatia in the final, which I didn't think I'd do. I felt a bit confused going into it.
Yeah, I felt too. Because we spent the whole of our time before the Justin Timberlake concert crying and screaming obscenities at the Croatians. But then suddenly you just thought, oh, don't let France win. Yeah. And also, if we're going to lose, it might as well be to the champions.
That's the difficulties. Yeah, because the spin was, do you want to lose to the eventual winners?
Yeah, that's
but if the they one. Beat, but if they beat France, then you go, we could have beaten France.
Yes.
That's horrible. It's like,
so then I'm just going to be unhappy than happy than unhappy for a long, long time.
But you rather get knocked out to the winners.
Yeah, it's true.
I found myself reverting to type though, and just going underdog. Right, you're the underdog. Okay, let's go with you. And I just thought Modric was amazing. Thought Vasalko, the right back, was amazing. Lovren was getting a bit lippy, so that kind of ruined it a little bit. But Modric, in particular, I thought was awesome.
Yeah, he's really stood out for me, definitely. How about you? What kind of what team or maybe what players stood out the most for you for the World Cup?
Obviously, like Mbappe for France. What a lad.
He's
19 years old.
To come out of this,
I think he's our future number one player in the world, isn't he? Yeah. He's going to be the next Ronaldo, Messi.
So
19.
And he made, I think back to 19. Wow.
Imagine that. I know. What you were doing at 19.
I know.
And he's playing on the world stage.
Wow, that's amazing.
Like making it look like an absolute breeze.
Yeah.
Obviously, Modric, like he ran that show for the Croats again.
Yeah.
Like, what a guy he is. He's one of the most underrated footballers in the world. I think he's in the top three or four. So
yeah, but I agree.
Part of me is kind of pleased that we didn't end up playing France, because I think it could have been turmoil for us. We could have been hit for, I think we would have got hit for four and five. So a little piece of me is like kind of just happy that we're we didn't
kind
have
of got
to do with that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially against the French.
Yeah, don't want to do it against the French.
That was the problem.
Yeah, that was the problem. You don't want to get...
You don't want to lose to the French.
Don't want to lose to the French. I mean, is there any lovely French people listening? I do apologise. You know what I mean. I mean,
it's a compliment,
a bit better.
Sort of.
Just a little bit.
Take it as jealousy.
I mean, no,
jealous.
I just don't really like the French. But I like the French.
I like France. I've just come back from France, so let's be nice to the French.
Yeah, let's be lovely with them.
One of our best friends is French, but...
Okay. I like how we've all got a bit of a disclaimer.
Yeah,
we're just
right.
Like, you know, we're fine.
I couldn't
we're fine.
Have handled it, like him harping on at me.
No. Right, this is the problem. I cannot handle the fact that my French friend... And
you blocked
Rachel,
your French friend.
Temporarily blocked Alex Topogozolu because I couldn't handle his...
Surname.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
That's wrong.
I know.
Can you spell that?
No. I don't think I'm even saying it correctly.
Okay. No. I don't know.
And the friendly on the Saturday, you know, is that just... a foregone conclusion that we weren't going to go on and win Saturday's game?
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
Just couldn't be asked.
Yeah. We'd already had a dress rehearsal and it had not gone well.
You're talking about other teams. I thought Belgium, I mean, they won a lot of games of football and didn't even get themselves to the final. And that game against France was really, really close. They actually dominated a lot
of it. They bossed the first half against France, didn't
they? They were the deadliest team. Because I think in the Croatia game and in the Belgium game, they sort of defended quite deep, but that kind of worked for them because you had people like Mbappe, who you want to have 60 yards of space, and they were just lethal, and it got them over the line. But yeah, felt a bit sorry for Belgium. And Hazard, which as a QPR fan, I shouldn't be saying that because he's a Chelsea player, but when I see Neymar and the way he was behaving in the whole tournament, the way Hazard always gets up, always gets on with it, I thought it was really impressive. I thought it was class.
Cheap.
That was ridiculous. He's a bit of a laughing stock now from this World Cup, isn't he?
He'll probably lose some money out of that because his reputation, his stock's gone down, and Mbappe's the main man now.
Yeah.
And I'm absolutely fine with that.
Yeah. We're all very happy about that. Well, that's pretty much all we've got time for. We've got a couple of minutes left of the show. Very quickly, Herbalife, Danny, where can people find out more about that?
You can just visit my Instagram page. It's Daniel Spiller, Spillsy17. SPILLSY 17.
Thank you.
And we will basically get anyone set up for success, because the building blocks of great nutrition comes from breakfast, and we're helping change so many lives. People look better and then mentally feel better too. That comes side by side with that.
That is fantastic. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And James, a great touch for a big lad. Where can people find out more about that?
Just search Great Touch for Big Lad. I mean, there's another one on iTunes. Ball Street is the football company that I work for. They've got a YouTube channel.
Ball Street.
Ball Street's good.
Yeah.
And my own channel is James Lawrence Alcott, ALLCOTT.
My telephone number is.
Yeah, I know. My
dress is leg measurement. This is where I hide my keys. Right, on that note, Olivia Cox, what a wonderful show. I've enjoyed this.
This is it. End of the World Cup, big old roundup. And we are now taking a break for summer. So, we'll leave you with a song.
We'll leave you with Boom by Anastasia. Just because it's the first thing I see. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you very soon. Bye.
Complicated. Understanding what you can achieve, underrated, the one to win, one who believes. If I go away, would you follow me? serpent queen.